What would you say is a good, positive disability image to share on the internet? Hello, everybody. It's Inside Ouch.
Howdy.
Kate Monaghan, Kathleen Hawkins.
Hi.
Here, I'm Damon Rose.
I don't know, is there such a thing as a positive disability? I mean, don't we just straight away get onto inspiration nonsense if we start down that little hole?
Do you know what, though? Most of the people I follow on Instagram now are disabled people who I just like looking at photos of what they're up to.
You flipping love that Harmony Rose.
Oh, Harmony Rose had meningitis, which I had as well. And she lost all four of her limbs. And her...
She's like two?
Yeah, she's about two now. And actually, it's just been the anniversary of her getting ill. And her mum has been posting loads of photos of that time. But she posts pictures of Harmony's progress. And honestly, it is just amazing to follow that journey.
And tell me what you said about having a bad day the other day.
I had a bad day. I had a rash on my legs and I was feeling a bit blue. Oh. And I looked on Facebook and Harmony Rose was there drinking from a cup for the first time using her arms. I just thought, oh, yes, go on, Harmony Rose.
But isn't that what we say, like, we shouldn't do as, like, non-disabled people shouldn't do that about us? Like, oh, look at you, living your life, you're an inspiration. But then we draw inspiration from other people who are like us anyway.
I just love seeing Harmony Rose progressing and being happy. And actually, as well, this may be cynical, but it's really, really helping that family in terms of finance. People are coming forward and they're saying, what can we do to help Harmony? Because she's got serious amputations above elbows and above knees. So she's just been given this amazing little electric wheelchair.
It's like the cutest thing I've ever
designed
seen.
Designed like a ladybird.
That phrase, yeah. Inspiration porn, that people have talked about a lot is more aimed at kind of able-bodied people, isn't it? Inspiration porn, it's where one group of people who are not the same as another group of people objectify the other group of people.
So we're allowed to look at somebody who's like us and be inspired by them. But people who are not like us are not allowed to look at us and be inspired by us.
If you look at someone and you are inspired by them and you can't help but be inspired by them, then I guess you're inspired by them.
And inspiration happens at all levels, doesn't it?
The reason why we're talking about this today is because a photo has been shared on social media of a student in Canada, a guy called Godfrey Kuoto. And a guy who we later find out is called Robert. He's deaf and has cerebral palsy. And we possibly learning difficulties, we're not sure.
I think some people have said he has, some people have said he hasn't. It's
and the photo, area. Who wants to describe the photo?
So there's two guys on the bus. There's Godfrey, who's the student, and then Robert is sort of leaning into him, holding his hand, and Godfrey's just sort of sitting there, looking the other way, but holding his hand. And at first glance, it looks like they're brothers or something, and that's why they're doing it. But obviously the person who took the picture realised that they weren't related, they didn't know each other, and this was a stranger. And it turns out that Robert was having a tough time on this bus. He was feeling threatened or worried or just very uncomfortable, and he'd leaned in to Godfrey to seek comfort, and Godfrey had held his hand for about half an hour of the journey, apparently.
Half an hour.
Yeah, it's a long time, isn't it?
And he was hugging him, so Godfrey hugged him.
It's a really intimate picture.
I looked at it and I thought, why are people sharing this? Because this is clearly not a stranger. It's clearly like his brother. And they're just assuming that this disabled guy needed help. And then actually when you dig into the story a bit more, you think, oh, hold on, I was totally wrong there. Mm.
Is that just depressing that we're shocked at that level of intimacy between two strangers? Have we lost all of our human compassion and tactile nature?
Totally. Well, yep. I think so. Would you hug a stranger on a tube?
I would be so freaked out if somebody tried to cuddle me on the tube. I think I'd probably punch them.
What if you then realised that they were disabled, though? And should that make a difference? If somebody was crying as well, if somebody was really distressed, would you hug them?
I haven't hugged them. If I've seen someone who's really distressed, I have said, are you okay?
And I guess then if you realised they were deaf, that communication would have to change instantly.
Yeah.
So if they are deaf, the communication might be more tactile and you might be more accepting of the fact that someone starts hugging you. And Robert also kissed Godfrey's hands.
That's right.
As well.
Repeatedly.
For half an hour.
I don't know. I think I'd freak out a bit at first. How did Godfrey sort of understand the situation he was in, or did he just sort of think, okay, this is happening, let's let it happen, like it doesn't matter who it is?
He said that at first he thought he was getting pranked, which I think is a natural, perhaps understandable response, isn't it? Especially in this day of social media, with someone sitting by with a camera potentially snapping, in which they did.
Yeah,
this is the kind of thing that works for people with learning difficulties, doesn't it, sometimes, and people who perhaps have communication difficulties. I don't think, I mean, I've tried to cuddle people on the tube and they just turn the other way.
No, you haven't.
They just push me off.
It's happened so many times.
No, I haven't done
got
it.
Got your lawyer on speed dial.
Haven't done it, really. At the moment, there's a lot of talk about how Facebook are going to add a dislike button.
Mm.
Do you think it would get 50,000 dislikes as well?
No.
As, what was the tag that went along with it? Something like, this is how we should treat disabled people.
Yeah, I saw that headline.
Yeah, I mean,
does it say treat all disabled people in this way? Does
yeah,
it open it
let's
up
just
to...
start grabbing people because with disabilities on the tube and hug them.
Yeah, I mean, that could be really dangerous.
Yeah.
We know, for example, that it's a fact that women with learning disabilities are sexually abused a lot more frequently.
But commuting, it's an interesting thing, isn't it, for disabled people? I was on a train the other few days ago when a man was walking along, wasn't paying any attention to what he was doing, had a coming from the buffet car, and he tipped a hot coffee all over my guide dog.
Oh, Beckett.
And he didn't say sorry, because it was quite interesting, because he was so mortified. I think this is the only thing I can get. I can't imagine he was rude. He's walking through first class, you know. And
you commute in first class. Fancy.
Might do.
Oh, hello, Damon. Money bags, Rose.
No, it's not. When you're disabled, you get to sit in the first class for free, don't you?
No.
I think you do.
That's not a thing.
No.
Especially if the disability seating area is in the first class area.
That's the only time. You don't get it otherwise.
Not a thing.
I was on the train back to my parents on Friday evening and there were no seats free. And it was a rush hour train with three carriages and they were all jam-packed full. The disabled seats were taken. So I sat in first class and honestly, they were not happy.
Did you explain yourself?
Yeah, and I've done exactly the same thing.
And they said, we have no responsibility to give you a seat.
Yeah, if you haven't booked, we're not responsible. I had exactly the same thing, trying to visit my grandma in Manchester, travel from London to Manchester, and it was absolutely ramajammed. Didn't book in advance because I was going because my grandma was poorly, so I didn't have time to book, and the train conductor threw me out of first class and just said, I don't have to give you a seat.
Ooh.
And I was like, no, I have a right to have a seat. And he said, nope, we don't. So I complained and the train company said, no, we don't have to give you a seat. You don't have to be in first class.
I think it happens when you've booked a ticket when there aren't any seats available. So you've booked it with the T's and C's saying this will be a standing only train, but I didn't realise that because it is in the small print.
I don't think anyone realises it, and I don't see why you can't sit in first class. I think it's appalling that they do that.
And also, he said the disabled seats are taken. I've got a wheelchair user in there, but the wheelchair user was in his wheelchair in the space for the wheelchair users, and the two disabled seats were taken by non-disabled people. And I said, well, I don't feel comfortable enough moving those people.
No,
that's
and he
usually
said we
people,
have no responsibility to move them.
People who are with that wheelchair user though would it be people in
the but they could stand.
Yeah,
because
they don't need to be there.
That's standing.
Kathleen needs a seat more than they do.
I was on the train the other day and a seat near where I was standing became available. And one man jumped over my guide dog so that he could get to the seat and sat in it.
Wow.
Which I thought was not in the spirit, you know, I thought.
So was Beckett hurt by this hot cup of tea?
He was fine, actually. Luckily, it also splashed over loads of other commuters.
Mm.
But last night, I was walking home down Regent Street and Beckett got hit by a car.
What?
Yeah, Beckett's my dog.
Wow.
He was only tapped by it, but it was really sad and unpleasant. And he's absolutely fine. We carried on to the tube station afterwards. He was fine. I didn't just sort of scrape him up off the road and say, you will take me home. But the outcry from the people around me, you can imagine on the pavement.
How did that happen?
Well, it was a pretty crowded street corner we were crossing. And this guy was just edging forward to come out into Regent Street.
Right.
But the swearing at him, he didn't stop. He apparently just looked straight forward. He kind of knew what was going on, so my fellow commuters told me. And he didn't say sorry, didn't do anything.
See, that's the other end of the spectrum, isn't it? from Godfrey and Robert.
Mm.
Exactly, to hitting a guide dog and not even stopping.
And knowing that you've done that. Mm.
Harsh. But I guess people panic in those situations and don't know what the right thing to do is, although, I mean, it's quite obvious.
When was the last time you kind of hugged someone randomly like that then? And has there been any kind of disability?
A stranger?
Reason
a stranger?
For that? Yeah.
Never. I don't think I've... I'm not sure I've ever hugged a stranger. I mean, when you go to the Special Olympics, like I did earlier this year, it's a very different atmosphere and everyone is jubilant and everyone is happy and everyone wants to come up and give you a hug. That's an environment where I feel happy to hug everyone, and these amazing people are achieving amazing things and they want to celebrate with you and you want to celebrate with them. So, but again, that's a disability thing. You wouldn't do that at the Olympics or probably even the Paralympics.
Do you think so? Do you think that was directly because these people have learning disabilities?
I think it was a big part of it, that they were a lot more open to it and, you know, they seek out that kind of connection with you more than other people do, I guess.
But I do remember an ex-girlfriend of mine was a waitress in Kent, and I remember her coming home one night and telling me about how there was a guy with learning difficulties at the table, one of the tables she was waiting, and his parents were laughing a lot because he kept grabbing hold of her and hugging her and kissing her throughout the evening. It's not dissimilar, is it? Or is that okay?
Are you saying that people with learning difficulties exploit their learning difficulties to hug and
No, I'm not saying what was happening here was that the parents were encouraging it.
Oh, right. How old was the guy with learning disabilities?
He was in his 20s.
Well, that's not cool, because that's just encouraging somebody to violate somebody else's personal space and stuff.
It's also not teaching at all that person that they can't do that, and actually that might get them in some serious trouble
later. Yeah.
I've often thought there should be a professional hugger in hospitals. Because I remember once I woke up from an operation about 10 years ago, and I could tell when I woke up that it just hadn't gone very well. And the first thing I wanted to do, and this is unusual for me, was I really wanted to hug someone. So I went to try and hug the nurse.
Oh, dear.
And she just walked away blankly.
God, that's interesting, because I hugged a number of the nurses when I was in hospital. And they hugged me back. And they would often say, "Do you want a hug?"
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like that's a very different thing, though, because you were a young girl and Damon was a grown man.
Yeah.
And I think maybe the nurses felt more comfortable giving you a hug than
I think she
Damon.
Was older than me, if that helps with the dynamic a bit.
It could also be about the length of stay in hospital. You know, Kathleen got to know, I assume you got to know quite a few of your nurses and things.
Yeah, I was in there for a long time, but
Damon's
I was
hugging a random.
I was moved around, though, so they weren't like nurses that I'd been with for the whole duration. Maybe I don't know which operation that was, Damon, but maybe it's your reasoning for being there as well, so they knew that I was going through a life-changing event. I like hugging people, though. I've always been quite tactile, and I think that
I find some physical contact I'm okay with, and some I'm not, and I have to be like
in control of it.
Yeah. Really do. Like I don't like people. I've got a friend who he will touch me all the time, like on my shoulder, on my arm. He has to hug me every time he sees me, to say hi, to say bye. And it's one of those, not like a brief hug, it's like a real like, come here and be held by me. And I literally avoid seeing him because I can't bear it. And that's awful, but it's the truth. I need to be in control of who touches me and when, really.
Well, people do need to be aware, don't they, that some people just do not like to be touched. So there has to be an element of consent in that. And I guess that's what's interesting in the Godfrey and Robert situation as well, is that actually Godfrey wasn't given that option. Robert just held his hand and actually was probably quite lucky in the way that Godfrey responded to him and his background. I mean, in his interview, he credited his mum saying that he was raised by a queen to be compassionate.
I love that.
So that's obviously quite an important facet of his personality.
You mentioned the sort of gender dynamic earlier as well. These are two men as well, which is kind of interesting. Disability aside, these are two men.
Yeah, I don't think the photo would have gone as viral if it was two women. I really don't.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
I think it's because it was such a...
It's an everyday thing for women to hug each other, isn't it? In the office, down the street, in a cafe. You can't stop yourselves.
Yeah, I think the gender balance, I think, does make a difference. I think it's more shareable because it's two men rather than two women. I think people would have seen two women as a more, almost like a less incredible thing to have happened. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, really.
Okay, thank you very much for listening. This has been Inside Ouch, Kathleen, Kate.
Thank you.
And me, thank you for being here. You can email us, ouch@bbc.co.uk, or tweet @BBCOuch. We're back next Friday.
Bye.
Bye.